The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you, choir and band and Jesse. As Damian said earlier, we're starting a new series today, and I need to give you a little bit of foundation for this. And it's very simple. God put you on this planet for a purpose. You think about this for a moment. See if you can get your arms around it. Before the foundation of the world, God had you in mind. And he knew how he was going to make you. He knew how he would form you. He knew that you were going to be a Christian. He gave you spiritual gifts. He knew what he wanted you to have already. He put a heart inside of you, not so much the physical heart which he gave you, but that part of you that drives you, that really loves to do certain things. And he gave you abilities. And we're all good at different things. He gave you a personality. It might be effervescent and overflowing. It may be quiet and reserved, but he gave you a personality. And then he put you on this planet and he gave you experiences. And none of our experiences are the same. Why did God give you all of those things? Because he has a work he wants you to do on this world. He has a purpose for you to be here on this planet. And joy comes when I'm fulfilling God's purpose in my life. That's why so many people are unhappy. They're unhappy because they're trying to find out why they're here, and they keep trying all of these different things and they come up empty. So let's start with just that thought in mind, that God put you on this planet for a reason. Now, some of you are immediately thinking, well, God can't use me and God can't do this and I'm no good for God. I want you to read the passage out of 1 Corinthians. Just follow along as I read. I'll read it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. God's plan, God's dream for your life, according to this verse, is mind-boggling. You can't even imagine it. The Bible says, with God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we could ask or imagine. He can do it. God has a great, great plan for us. Now, we don't see that sometimes. But there is a key word in both of these passages. No mind has imagined, and anything we could ask or imagine. One of the great gifts God has given you is the ability to imagine. God's gift is imagination. God is a creator God. That means he is creative. And when you look at our world, I like to watch the nature shows, and I've been watching one called Fact or Fiction, and it takes all of these things, and you kind of think they're probably true and they're not true, or you think they're not true and they are true. But you just think about God's creative power. Who would have ever come up with a duck-billed platypus? Crazy. Some of the things that God created, because he is creative. Now, the Bible says that you are made in the image of God. And because you are made in the image of God, you have the ability to imagine. You can be creative. We had a couple of memorial services here Thursday and Friday. And in one of those services, Sheila sang that song, I Can Only Imagine. You know, what is heaven going to be like? I can only imagine. And the person imagines what it's going to be like. Well, I want you to understand that Joshua is a book about God fulfilling the imagination of Joshua and the children of Israel. God has given them a dream, and that dream is to conquer the promised land. God had a purpose for Joshua. He had a plan for Joshua. And now, and Joshua had some trouble with his imagination on this plan, and what we're going to see in his life is that very thing. But in this book of Joshua that God has given us, it's the first of 12 historical books. Joshua is the Old Testament name for Jesus. It means God is Savior. It was written somewhere around 1400 BC. And yet it is here that God gives four principles of fulfilling his plan in our life. So I want you to open your mind to the imaginations of what God can do through you. And I also want to couple this with what God can do through Shadow Hills. Because there are great things out there for us. We just need to catch the dream. We need to get the vision. We go to God for that. And we said next week we're going to share some things with you regarding that dream for the church. But I want to focus today on the life of Joshua and show you four things that will allow God to use you if you practice these. The first thing, if you want God to use you beyond what you can imagine, you have to drop doubt. Because doubt is the enemy of God's dream for your life. Doubt limits us. It leads to procrastination and putting it off. I doubt that God could use me in a great way. I mean, look at me. I doubt. And we begin to come up with excuses and all of these things. You know, the Bible says anyone who doubts is like a wave on the sea, blown up and down by the wind. They should not think they will receive anything from the Lord. Now, I want you to know one of the things that's comforting to me about Joshua, he had a doubt problem. Joshua doubted. He doubted himself. He doubted himself because he was following Moses. Can you imagine the awesome responsibility of following Moses? I mean, Moses was a giant of a man. Moses had these terrific experiences of God using him. It was Moses who threw his stick down and it became a snake. And it was Moses who touched the water and it became blood red. It was Moses who told Pharaoh the frogs were going to come and the locusts were going to come. It was Moses that held that same rod up and the Red Sea parted. We talked about that last week. How would you like to follow that guy with none of those experiences behind you? How would you feel being the one that was doing this? He was the successor of that. And you think about it and Joshua begins to doubt. And let me tell you what happens in the story. If you read chapter 1, you'll see it. On the night before they're going to cross the Jordan River, God knows the heart of Joshua, and he knows that he's having a doubt problem. And basically, it's like God comes alongside Joshua, and he puts his arm around him and says, Joshua, I need to give you a little pep talk here. I need to encourage you. I sense that you are doubting the ability to go across and conquer the land. I mean, I think from where Joshua was, you look across the river, and you see Jericho. And they're supposed to take that city. That had to cause you to quake in your boots a little bit. So God's walking and talking with Joshua. And he says to him four times in Joshua 1, four times, he says, be determined and confident. You know, in Joshua 1, be bold and strong. Banish fear and doubt. For remember, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What does the word banish mean? It means to get rid of it. It means to eliminate it. It means to dump it. And God says, if you want me to use you, you can't give in to your doubts. Church, if we want God to use us, we can't give in to our doubts. And we say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, let me remind you, doubt is a choice. If you give in to your doubts, it's because you have chosen to give in to your doubts. Now, some of you are saying, well, I doubt that. But it is. Let me tell you how I know doubt is a choice. Because faith is a choice. Faith is something you choose. You're not born with it. You choose to trust God. And in order to choose to trust God, you have to choose to drop your doubts. A lot of people believe their doubts and doubt their beliefs. And God says, no, I want you to doubt your doubts. Does that make sense? Don't believe your doubts are true. I want you to believe your beliefs. But we have these doubts. We have these doubts for one reason, because we constantly compare ourselves. We look at somebody that God has used greatly. I'm sure Joshua must have looked at Moses and said he had so many talents and he had so much courage and he had so many more gifts than I did, and his abilities were beyond mine and his experiences were greater than mine. God can't use me. And he compares himself to Moses. God says, stop it. Because when you compare, you begin to doubt. The Bible in 1 Corinthians says it is dumb to compare yourself to other people. You see, God wants to use you. You may feel ordinary. You may feel unusable. You may feel like you've got problems. But God will use you. God uses people with mixed motivations. God uses dysfunctional people. God uses people that are bizarre. God can use you. We doubt, though, because we compare ourselves. Well, I don't think God could ever do that through me. Stop it. The other reason we doubt is because we fixate on our failures. I want you to listen really carefully. I have to confess to you, this one eats me up sometimes. But we choose to fixate on our failures. It's like you've got a, I don't know, what do you have today, a DVD collection. And you go to the DVD collection and you see a failure from 2010, a big failure where you just messed up royally. And you take that DVD out of the case and you put it into the player and you fixate on it. And you say, I'm just going to watch this failure over and over and over again. And it grows and grows in your mind until you have memorized every aspect of that failure. And God says, stop it. Stop it. Why do you keep playing this failure over and over? I look at my past and I look at my mistakes, and all of us have mistakes in our past. And I think, God can't use me. Look what I did. Look at everything that I've done, the dumb stunts that I pulled. Look, if people knew my background, if people knew my checkered past, well, they wouldn't listen to me. And God says, stop it. Drop your doubts. And stop fixating on the failure. You look into the Bible, I don't find a single person in the Bible that God used who had a spotless resume. Moses was guilty of murder before God called him to free the children of Israel. Jacob stole the family inheritance. David was an adulterer. And then he became a murderer because he put her husband on the front line to be killed in war so nobody would find him out. I look at Peter. Now, I said God gives us imagination, so I use my imagination to think about Peter. And I think that Peter was probably this hard-driving, hard-drinking, hard-cussing, salty sea dog. And I know you don't find all of that, but I know that he cursed, because the Bible tells us he did. And I know that he had his foot in his mouth all the time. He always had an opinion, swore up and down, you know. And yet God looks at Peter and Paul. Paul was a religious terrorist before he was used by God. And God looks at them and says, I'm going to use you. I can use a guy like you. And I can not just use a guy like you. I can use a guy like you in a great, great way. Even though you failed in the past. You know, what God is saying is, and we've talked about it before, you can't change the footprints of yesterday or any time before. They are what they are. The key is to live today and each day that steps out in front of you, walking where God wants you to walk. You can't change those. God was so determined that you and I understand this, that he put it in our anatomy, in our body. When God put eyes in your head, did he put them so you could look forward or backwards? Look forward. God wants you to look forward in faith. When he put the ears on your head, did he put them there so you could listen to what's in front of you or what's behind you? Put them forward. When God gave you two arms and hands, did he give you arms and hands that could do the best work behind you or the best work in front of you? In front of you. When he put your feet on your legs, did he put them where you would always walk backwards or so you'd walk forward? I think God wants us to understand that he wants us to face the future. There's only one part of your anatomy that faces backwards. And some things ought to be left behind. And I think that's what God's telling us. God says, I don't want you to doubt. I want you to walk in faith. So make that choice. When you feel like, well, I can't, God can't, they won't, stop it. Focus on faith. The second thing, pursue a promise. This word promise is very important in the life of Joshua. It's used 13 times in the book of Joshua itself. They're here at the very beginning, the edge of the Jordan River. And God's given Joshua that pep talk. And he says, Joshua, let me remind you of something. I made a promise. He says, I promised Moses that I would give you this land, so I will give you every place you go in the land. There are three key words right there. So I will. God says, I promised, so I will. I'm going to do it. If God makes a promise, he keeps the promise. You go to the end of the book of Joshua, and you read at the end of the book, over in Joshua, it says, now my time has come to die. And every one of you knows that God has given you all the good things he promised. Every promise he has made has been kept. Not one has failed. God keeps his promises. So what does he promise Joshua here? Well, he promises him strength in verse 5. He says, no one will be able to stand against you. In other words, I'm going to give you the power to do what I call you to do. A lot of the times, we begin to compare ourselves with others and we begin to fixate on failure and we don't remember that it's not us that's going to do it anyway, it's God. God's going to do it. Why? Because he promises us strength. He promises us success. He says to Joshua, you will be successful. Folks, God wants you to succeed. Now there's a qualifier here. God does not promise you, he does not promise me success when I'm doing what I want to do. God does not promise me success in the things that I believe will be fun. He does not promise me success in the things that I believe will make me look good or make me popular or make me powerful. He says, when you drop your doubts and walk in faith with me, I will give you success. So God promises success when we are fulfilling his plan for us. And when we're fulfilling his plan for us, we have peace and we have joy and we have love in our lives. The third thing, God promises support. He said to Joshua, I will be with you wherever you go. God is going to support you. Folks, those three promises are three promises that you can claim from God. You can claim his strength, you can claim his success, and you can claim support. How does that happen? I want you to look at Joshua 1 verse 8. It says, always remember what is written in this book. He's talking about the Word of God. Study it day and night to be sure to obey everything that is written there. If you do this, you will be wise and successful in everything. There are five thoughts in that passage. Thought number one, it says, always remember. Circle remember. Remember what's written in the book. And then study it. Circle the word study. And then it says, obey everything. Circle the word obey. Now here's the reality. that if you remember what is written in the book, if you meditate and memorize the book, if you study the book and you obey the book, he says two things are going to result. You will be wise and you will be successful. You will be wise and you will be successful. You know, Joshua's life was one battle after the next. I mean, he could not get away from the battles. For more than 20 years, he fought battle after battle after battle. You ever feel like your life's that way? You feel like you just get one problem behind you and all of a sudden there's something else right there in front of you. How do you keep on keeping on when your life is one struggle after another? Well, you drop your doubts and you claim God's promise. And number three, you lean on the Lord. Lean on the Lord. What does it mean to lean on something? Well, when you lean on something, it means you depend upon it. You know, I can lean on this desk and I can put my feet way out here behind me and I'm leaning and I'm trusting that desk to hold me up. There's no way in the world that I would stand on the edge of these steps and lean out that far because I'd fall. To lean means that I put my trust in, I put my weight in. And look what the Bible says. No one will be able to defeat you all your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forget you. God says that to you and me as well. He says you can lean on me. Now let me ask you, in the trouble and in the struggles that you have, what are you leaning on? Or who are you leaning on? Are you leaning on somebody else, expecting them to get you through? Let me tell you. Anybody in this room, if I stood here and I leaned on you and kept leaning on you and depending on you to hold me up, there would come a time, no matter how strong you are, that you would become fatigued and you would let me go. Even if you didn't want to. You don't have to do it on purpose. Some of you do it on purpose. I'm not holding you up. And some of you are kind and gracious and you'd try. But you see, you physically can't do that. If you're leaning on other people to see you through, I want you to know, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, they can't take it forever. They're going to let you down. And then some of you are leaning on yourself. Well, I got this. I can handle this. And you're trying to figure a way out and figure out what to do. But the problem is you get fatigued too. I let myself down. I can't tell you the number of times I promised myself I'm not going to do that anymore and find myself right back at it. I've talked to you about my driving, and I'm better than I used to be, but I'm not as good as I ought to be. And sometimes when I'm driving and I do something that is just dumb, I just say, God, I help me. I'd never want to do that again. And sometimes I make it home without doing it again. But I guarantee you I'm going to do it again. I let me down. I tell myself, you're better than that. But I'm not. And I need to lean on the Lord because I can't trust other people to hold me up forever. I can't trust myself to hold me up together. The Bible in Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't what? Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Now, leaning on the Lord may be scary, may be uncomfortable at times. But leaning is what faith is all about. Leaning on the Lord. Remember that hymn? Leaning on the everlasting arms. You know, leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure in the Master's arms. I don't think that's exactly what it says, but it's pretty close. No, he promised, if I lean on him, he will hold me up. So if I want to be used by God, if the church wants to be used by God in the days to come, we drop our doubts, we quit comparing and we quit looking at the past, we find the promise of God, he's given us the promises in his word, and we lean on him, we know that he's going to have to get us through it. And then, the next thing, follow up with faith. Now, there comes a time when you got to stop discussing it and stop talking about it and stop thinking about it, even stop praying about it. You got to do it. Joshua 1:10, it says, then Joshua instructed the leaders to tell the people to get ready to cross the Jordan River. It's the moment of truth. They got to go for it. And guess what? They have to do this again and again and again. Because once they cross the Jordan River, the battles begin. They've got to go to Jericho. They've got to go to Ai. They've got to go to all of these different cities and in the hill country. And they've got to take the country captive. So how do they do that? They walk by faith. They look at the Jordan River. This is their first obstacle. How are we going to get across? Joshua, there's no bridge that we can go across. There's no pontoons that we can build afloat. We don't have boats. How are we going to get across? And God says, I've got that worked out. And he says to Joshua, Joshua, I want you to take some of the leadership and I want you to start walking into the Jordan River. Now, when Joshua walks into the Jordan River, there's water in that river. Because God says, this is the test of faith. I want you to pass the test. You walk into the river, and when your feet walk into the river, when you leaders walk into the river, I'm going to stop the water from flowing. Now, here's the problem. God stops the water 17 miles upstream. 17 miles. So that means there is 17 miles of water that have to go through the Jordan River after Joshua puts his feet in the water. Why? Because God doesn't work until we take a step of faith. That's for the church, and that's for me and you personally. God doesn't work until we get our feet wet. Now, we're not dependent upon that. He walked into the water fully dependent upon God to stop the water, because he knew if he kept walking, he would drown. We'll talk about it later, but the river was at flood stage. I've been to the Jordan River. It's really not all that big. But one time a year when the rains came, it got enormous, and it was swift and fast flowing, and you would drown and die if you tried to cross that river at flood stage. But God said, Joshua, you got to get your feet wet. When you get your feet wet, I'm going to stop the water. So Joshua gets his feet wet, but the water's still coming. He gets up to his knees, the water's still coming. Gets up to his waist, the water is still coming. I don't know how high the water got, but I know he didn't drown, because pretty soon that 17 miles of water was by, and it began to recede and began to go down and go down and go down. Why? Because there is a time when you've got to act. You know, we use prayer as an excuse sometimes. Some of you said, I'm praying about a Bible study. I'm praying about tithing to the church. I'm praying about taking a leadership position. There's a point where that's an excuse for procrastination. You're just putting it off. Do it. You know, I'm praying about joining the church. I'm praying about becoming a Christian. God says to Joshua, Joshua, I'm going to do a miracle, but I want you to start walking through the water first, and when you do, I will stop the water. And Joshua moved forward. Let me ask you a question. What is your Jordan River today? What is there in your life that you need to step into and decide you're going to trust God? That you need to just move forward so that God can use you? Let me tell you, I bet that first step was the hardest. Getting into the river and watching God do a miracle, that was the hardest. And Joshua fought the fear, stepped up with courage, and walked into the water. And when he walked into the water, faith came. You see, faith is strengthened when you take the first step. You got to take the first step. What about you? Let me ask you a question, and I'll close. If you are not fulfilling God's plan for your life today, what are you doing with it? If you're not doing what God put you on this planet to do, and Jesus tells us what that is, love him and love others, and we do that in a variety of different ways. I may do it as a mechanic. I may do it as a nurse. I may do it as a pastor. But if you're not fulfilling God's plan for your life with your gifts and abilities and personalities, experiences, what are you doing with your life? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're wasting it. And one of these days, you're going to stand before Jesus, and you're going to give an account. Every one of us are going to give an account, even we as believers. The Bible says that we're going to answer for every deed, every word, every thought. We're going to have to explain what we did with what he gave us. He says, you can't even imagine what I want to do through you. If you'll drop the doubts, claim my promises, be obedient to my word, if you will lean on me and step out in faith. And folks, that's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray together. What is it in your life right now that you need to quit praying about and just do? Some of you would say, well, I've talked about joining the church. I need to just do it. Then do it today. Or I've talked about finding out more about being a Christian. Then do it today. I've talked about giving to the Lord in a way. Then make your commitment and say, I'm going to start doing this. Why don't you just, in your heart, pray this prayer. God, I admit I have doubts about me. I have doubts about you. So today I want to let go of that doubt. I want to step out in faith. So help me to stay in your word and remember your word. And help me to walk in your word and claim your promises. Take this little seed of faith in my heart and make it grow so that you can use me, I pray, in Jesus' name.
This has been a production of Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.